Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see folks in church on a sharpish morning, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I'm going to hand over now to Alistair, but I could maybe ask somebody from sound to bring me some batteries, because the light is flashing on my little machine. So while the intimations are going, you wouldn't want me to be silenced. Well, we'll not have a vote on that. Alistair.
Okay. Well, good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. As it says in the intimations, welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. And visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Gift day. A big thank you from the treasurer on behalf of the whole church, everyone who has donated to the gift day appeal already. The total raise so far is a very generous £1,040, which will go towards the running of the church. It is still possible to contribute. Information, speak to the treasurer, George White, on 269355. Oakley and Carnock Christmas Fair takes place on Saturday the 2nd of December from 10 a.m. till 12 noon in Oakley Church. Church Hall, admission £4, children free, including tea and biscuits. So I'm just looking at a poster which I've been handed, I'm sure, for Carnock and Oakley Church, which said Sunday. It's a different thing.
Yes.
Right, okay, we'll come to this later. Advent discussion group. Our discussion group will meet twice during Advent, possibly Thursday the 7th and Tuesday the 19th of December. We'll be looking at a book of daily reflections for Advent, and speak to Derek for information. Kirk session. There will be a joint Kirk session meeting on Tuesday, 5th of December at Lime Kilns Church. Used stamps. We once again have a collection facility for used stamps. These will be forwarded to the RNIB, and please use the box in the vestibule. Scout Post. The Scout Post will deliver cars to the many places in West and Central Fife for 45 pence. There's a list of the places covered in the printed sheet. Cars should be taken to the Scout Hall, the Primary School, or Fairlie's Garden Centre between 1st December and 5 p.m. on 6th December. Warm Spaces is back, and Sanctuary Cinema. We're taking part in the Warm Spaces initiative again this winter. The church is open on Thursday afternoons between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. until the end of March. And this week, the 30th of November, and every 2 weeks, the Sanctuary Cinema will operate. And the film this time is Sometimes, Always, Never. On alternative weeks, there will be games and other activities. Catch. Catch is running each Sunday in December, with the Nativity on 17th of December. All are welcome to come along, and on 17th it will be participative. So bring your best singing voices. That could be hard. Right. Joyfully Made Women's Creative Day Retreat. On Saturday 9th of December, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m, Lendrick Muir. Cost £50. Join the Joyfully Made team for a day of Christmas crafts, seasonal reflections and festive eats and treats. All materials, two-course lunch and refreshments included. Bookings close on 4th of December, online booking only at whatever. If you'd like to know more, contact Hazel Payton on that phone number, 07732411207. Other intimations, there are further intimations in the printed sheet. This is available on our website or via our Facebook page if you do not have a copy. There's also another intimation, and it's for Carnock and Oakley Parish Church, a Christmas celebration at Oakley Church on Sunday the 10th of December at 6 p.m. Come on, join the celebration. All are welcome. And next, a quick look at the order of service. Here we go.
Thank you, Alistair. We'll have that last intimation on the intimation sheet for next week, so that'll be there, and we'll have a poster out at the front door, so that will be available. And if you do need to speak to Hazel, she's right there. I don't think crafting is my thing. So let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 470, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. Bless our offering. Almighty God, receive our gifts, gifts of time, talent, and money, for the use of your church to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Derek is leading us in prayer this morning.
Just to say, firstly, if you haven't noticed, the theme this morning is Christ the King Sunday. Let us pray together. God Almighty and Eternal, we worship and adore you. Heavenly Father, we worship and adore you. Holy Spirit, we worship and adore you. Lord Jesus, we worship and adore you. Loving Jesus, you are our Saviour, our Leader, our Helper, and our Guide. You are our Companion and Friend, too. But today especially, we acknowledge you as our King. Not a King as earthly kings are, who are temporary and often flawed, or purely symbolic, with no power, but the perfect King, unlimited in power and reigning beyond even the universe as we know it. And yet you are a servant king too, who loves his every subject and wants the best of life for all. Jesus, who lived among us, who suffered agonizing death for us, who atoned for all our sin and defeated death itself to reign forever on God's right hand, we worship and adore you. We give thanks for your sacrifice for us. We give thanks for all that is offered us in life, for all we have to sustain and comfort us, the people we love, and all the things that we have. You rescued us. You feed us and tend to us. You give strength when we are weak. You shine light into our dark places and make sense of the chaos all around. We humbly offer our thanks. Christ our King, we come to you now seeking forgiveness for the times that we have failed to honour you, for when we have failed to serve those in need, for when we have seen human frailty and suffering, but haven't remembered you, for when we have followed our own will and disobeyed you. We bring you now in silence our own words of confession and repentance. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, as your forgiven people, we rejoice that you reign in our hearts, filling us with joy, hope, and peace. And we promise to love and serve you, for you are our King and we are your people, now and always. Amen.
We're going to sing a modern version of one of the Psalms, Psalm 100, which is Jubilate, Everybody. Hymn 65, if you're using the hymn book. Derek has already said the theme for today is Christ the King. This, in many Christian traditions, is Christ the King Sunday. I think in past years I'd thought it was a very old celebration. In fact, it was only established in something like 1925. But it is good for us to remember that Christ is King. In the last couple of months, we've been looking quite a lot at the kingdom of heaven. From John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, to Jesus' own words, the gospel is full of that warning, the kingdom of heaven is near. Many of Jesus' parables deal with questions to do with entry into, living in, and judgment as part of the kingdom of heaven. We may think that living in a country with a constitutional monarchy, we have an advantage over other nations with an elected head of state when it comes to understanding the nature of kingdom. There is, of course, the disadvantage of understanding monarchy as a head of state in a parliamentary democracy. The United Kingdom, yes, has a king, but the king has the power of influence, not really the power of government. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven, people would have understood that a kingdom was under the authority of a king, and in a few cases, a queen. For most of history, people would have understood Jesus' words better than we do, because royalty had real power. Though sometimes our understanding of the power of the monarch in the past isn't exactly accurate. There was power, but to maintain authority, you had to keep some people happy. Leaders who forgot that they had power by consent very often came to a sticky end. Even the mighty Roman Empire, with Caesar at its head, Caesar's power was limited to what the people, other powerful people of course, would accept. Kings and emperors of the past faced far worse than simply being voted out. For those listening to Jesus' words about the kingdom of heaven, they knew that God was not like an earthly king, that the power of God was absolute. In Jesus' parables, the king or master in the story was clearly God. For the Hebrew people, they believed in God in a very different way to other nations. If you look at the mythology of the ancient world, many of the gods and goddesses were simply amplifications of humanity. That is, the good and the bad that we see in ourselves and in humanity as a whole, but multiplied by divinity. In some ways, the chronology of the Bible is a journey of discovery in terms of theology. The Hebrew people began by thinking of, quite literally, the God of Israel, the God of this bit of land. The story of Noah trying to escape. That's it. The stories tended to suggest that Yahweh was localized, so that you could leave. And then they discovered that God was so much bigger. There were surprises. And so by the time of Jesus, you didn't have Jonah running away. You had the God of the whole earth. And the Hebrew people were actually regarded as atheist, because they only had one God, when clearly to most people there was a multitude. And so we have this bigger picture. Of course, Jesus shocked people, not least by talking about God in things like the prodigal son. That parable. Really? God is like that? But much more by saying that a scruffy Galilean prophet could identify with God. That's in the Bible. What do we mean? What do you mean when you talk about Jesus as the King of Kings? Who do we celebrate? What's our season of Advent all about? These are good questions. We're going to read three passages from Isaiah, which we will hear again during Advent because we always do. It's talking about a child to be born. We've got a reading from Hebrews that talks about Jesus. And then from the book of Revelation. As we read these, who is Christ the King? Elaine is going to read for us.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. To us a child is born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The next reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus greater than Moses. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Our last reading is taken from Revelation, chapter 4, and we read from verse 1 to 8, Ruler of the kings of the earth. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the centre, round the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
M481, Jesus is the name we call. Song by Flanders and Swan with the title Song of Patriotic Prejudice. This is a bit of humour from an English perspective that caricatures the other parts of the British Isles and beyond. Now, when I found this many years ago, I offered the words to some of my English friends because I thought it might amuse them to have a bit of a go at me. And I'm only going to use the first verses for obvious reasons, because I'm a Scot, and it's fine to have a go at me as a Scot. I'll leave you to read the rest if you want to look it up, where the song talks about the Irish and the Welsh and others. So here's how it begins. The English, the English, the English are best. I wouldn't give tuppence for all of the rest. The rottenest bits of these islands of ours were left in the hands of three unfriendly powers. Examine the Irishman, the Welshman or Scot. You'll find he's a stinker as likely as not. The Scotsman is mean, as we're all well aware, and bony and blotchy and covered with hair. He eats salty porridge, he works all the day, and he hasn't got bishops to show him the way. The English are best. I wouldn't give tuppence for all of the rest. And so it goes on. I'm happy to present a caricature of the Scot. I'm allowed to do that. There is something healthy about being able to be humorous about ourselves. And speaking to a friend from Africa, I pointed out that I wasn't white. It was winter time. I'm actually Piliwali. And of course, I then had to explain it. A minister who was Irish began a sermon with a typical Irish joke, and he said that this was his absolute right. Had I done so, it might have sounded offensive. The song is written as pro-English, but if you go through the words, there is a caricature of Englishness there, because Flanders and Swan are incensed that all these strange people have bad habits like practicing before games of sport, which is seen as unsporting if you're English. And so it goes on. It is often said that the best humour is dependent on there being an element of truth. For humour to work, of course, there has to be a level of sensitivity in the joker and an ability to see the ridiculous in ourselves when we are on the receiving end. Not an easy balance to achieve. I suspect many of us will have said something in fun and caused offence, guilty as charged, or taken offence when none was meant, guilty as charged. We are all human. When pride comes before a fall, most of us in the end are able to laugh, even if we can't laugh immediately. The problem arises when humour or a joke is made and it's to do with our identity. This is especially true if we feel that the other would not be pleased if we did the same. Things like nationality or ethnicity can be a very tricky area for humour. Even more so when we get on to things like religious belief and the way that we express our faith. In the many statements on where we are as the Christian church, we will hear a phrase used in this country, Scotland or UK, that this is no longer a Christian country. Of course, that statement presupposes that there was a time when this earthly kingdom was Christian. Like many of the things we think we know or remember, this has elements of truth and a fair bit of myth. The church was once highly influential in terms of morality, ethics, and law. In terms of biblical knowledge, even those without faith in God knew the Bible stories. The decline in numbers of people with a Christian faith in the latter half of the 20th century took a long time to change the church mindset. In terms of mission, certainly in my youth, there was a belief that somehow in this nation we lived in Christendom. In what is now a very secular society, we may look back with longing to a time when Christian ethics were respected, in fact, when the Christian faith was respected. It is sometimes easier to see the problems of today than the difficulties of yesterday. It is absolutely right that we want our nation to be a Christian country. things go wrong when we assume that since we are Christian, ours is the best society. And in some ways, Christendom was a problem for the Christian faith. Because where we assume that our society is Christian, we assume that those who are to be Christian must absorb our society to become just like us. Where we become righteous in our own eyes, anyone who disagrees obviously is someone who opposes God because we are of God. When we talk of Jesus as the servant king, it is very easy to forget the king part of the statement. Christ the King is about Jesus' rule over us. And yes, Jesus rules by serving our deepest need and offers us life that is based upon us becoming all that we were created to be. But it only works where Jesus is king, not where we assume that we are king and he is servant. Our reading from Isaiah tells of a king greater than any earthly king. Our reading from Hebrews tells of a Savior who is beyond all earthly power. Our reading from Revelation depicts the throne room of heaven. As those who belong to the kingdom of heaven, we can be true to Christ the King. What we cannot do is protect the King. And very often, when we become defensive about faith, we are trying to protect God. God does not need our protection. Jesus is not weak. Where we say Jesus is King, when we talk about Christ the King, we are talking about absolute power in perfection. Life in the kingdom of heaven is not like a chessboard. Oh, to the powers of evil, the earthly Jesus seemed as vulnerable as the king in chess. Isolate the king to win. Take the king to win. The Easter story tells something quite different. There the king is isolated and lost only to win by the power of love. Jesus, risen, ascended, and glorified, is the King above all kings. Living out our faith is a challenge. There are those who will tell us that we are fools peddling nonsense. The message is that darkness will overcome. So far better to use the human wisdom of compromise. Christ the King is about the power of light. Light can extinguish the darkness. Darkness can never extinguish light. Through the love of God in Christ, we carry the Christ light. We are those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. Our King is the King of Kings. We live with light to share. So as we go into the season of Advent, as that begins next Sunday, as we light a candle and begin that process of looking towards Christmas, two things to remember. One is the traditional Christmas of the birth of Jesus, of this Savior who takes on our flesh. But Advent is also meant to be preparing for that King who will come again in his glory. That moment when truly every knee will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hymn 471, To the Name of Our Salvation.
Let us pray again. Christ our King, hear our prayer for the world. We pray for peace. We have seen in television and through all kinds of news media the horrors of the war in Gaza. A heinous act of terror has been followed by destruction on a terrible scale. We think of all who have suffered and are still suffering as a consequence of enmity rooted in hundreds of years of history. We think of Ukraine too, where there's no end or no sign of an end to the fighting. And we think about the other war zones in our world that are not making the news every day. We pray for the bereaved, the injured, and the dispossessed. We pray for the peacemakers seeking ways to make the cycle of violence stop. We pray for peace. We pray for our own country, thinking of those issues of politics and of the ordinary people affected, especially those who do live in poverty and see no improvement coming. At a time when those in government will be tempted to think of short-term gain and looming elections, we pray for strong and fair leadership. We pray for our church as debate continues about the future life of this church in our parish and in this area. We pray for our neighbouring congregations. And we pray for all congregations across Scotland going through the same process. We pray for your guidance so that the right way forward will be found. We pray for our parish and community, for all those in need, and for all who seek to serve them. We pray that no need will be left unknown and unmet. Help us to help all who need to know of your love. Lord Jesus, we take time now to bring you our personal prayers in a moment of quiet. Lord Jesus, our Saviour and our King, we pray everything in your name. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn number 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. To serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.